In the distance, my eyes focus on a lone bicyclist. I cannot tell how tall he is, only that he is very thin. It is strange that he is traveling against the flow of traffic. All of a sudden, I am startled by Ma's scream. Between loud, halting sobs, Ma manages to say, "It's your Uncle Zhang!" With our hands in the air and bodies jumping up and down, we wave excitedly to our uncle. Uncle Zhang waves one hand back and pedals his bike faster in our direction. He comes to a stop a few feet from us, and all at once we rush toward him. Blinking his eyes, he takes Ma into his arms with Pa standing quietly beside them. All the worries and fears of the past few days are now over, for at last he has found his sister. Uncle Xiang hands Ma a package from his front bike rack, and while she opens the cans of tuna and other food, he tells Pa that this morning other people from Phnom Penh arrived in his village. The new arrivals told of the evacuation and how the Khmer Rouge forced everyone to leave all the cities, including Phnom Penh, Battambang, and Siem Reap. Hearing this, he got on his bike and has been looking for us all morning. He then shares with us the glorious news that Ma's oldest brother Hyang is on his way to pick us up in a wagon. A smile of joy crosses over my face, knowing I will not have to walk anymore, and that in a few days we can ride in their wagon home. Standing next to Uncle Hyang, I have to tilt my head back as far as I can to see his face because he is so tall. Even then, all I can see is the shape of his thin lips and wide black nostrils that flare once every few seconds as he talks to Ma. At almost 6 feet tall, second Uncle Kim Yang hovers above all of us. His long, thin arms and legs make him look like the stick figures I used to draw on my school books. Uncle Yang lives in a village called Krang Turop. Both Uncle Liang and Uncle Hyang have lived in the countryside since before the revolution and have never lived in a city. The Khmer Rouge considers them uncorrupted model citizens for their new society. Pa says we will go and live with our uncles in their village. The wagon, pulled by two yellow, skinny cows moving very slowly, arrives later that evening. While Pa and Ma talk to my uncle, I quickly claim a seat in the wagon with Chu and Gek. Our trail takes us on a gravel road along Route 26 westward until we reach the Khmer Rouge-occupied village of Bat Deng. No matter where we go or in which direction we turn, there are people marching ahead and behind us. In the midst of the crowd, our wagon passes the Khmer Rouge village without stopping. We veer westward, leaving our roadside companions far behind. Somewhere between Bat Deng and Krang Truop, I fall asleep.